couldn't stop praying this morning. So it's always one of those days you know that something good is going to happen. And that's what we should come. We should come into the house of the Lord expecting. Amen. We should come expecting to be in his presence. We should come expecting for him to show up because he promised that. Amen. And we can rely and know that he is faithful to his promises. And we're going to continue on with our overflow lesson that we've been talking about, living in the overflow of giving. We've talked a lot about our tithes and offerings, and you're doing great, but I felt like the Lord said there's going to be a shift. And not just your tithes and offerings, but he's going to start causing there to be an overflow in our lives. Amen. And we've discussed why that's so important to have the overflow. Because the flow part means we're following the Lord, obedient and willing. And that's the heart we want to have, an obedient and a willing heart. Because there's blessing that comes from that. And today we're going to see another example of living in the overflow. And this is in Isaac, Abraham's son. And he was on his way to Egypt, and the Lord told him, I don't want you to go there. I want you to stay where I'm telling you to stay, in the land of Gerar. And that was the Philistine land. Now, we hadn't gotten to the point yet where the Israelites were fighting against the Philistines, but this still was not a favorable place necessarily in the natural. How many people know when you're following the Lord, sometimes it doesn't look like in the natural you may be in the right place? Amen. I remember the story that we had from our missionaries in Togo about this young man that had gotten saved, and he went to the worst city in the entire area. I remember Jesse being like, ooh, maybe you should have talked to me first before you picked that city. But the young man went, and he didn't even know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He didn't know about the power of God. All he knew was God had saved him, and he wanted to take some people with him. And so he went into this God-forsaken, literally, Jesse said, there was no God in this town. He went in this town, and people started getting saved. And then I think it was a week or 2 weeks into their church services, they all got slain in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And he had to call Jesse and say, I have no idea what is going on. My people are laying on the ground and they're talking and I don't know what they're saying. So it doesn't matter. When you're obedient and willing, God can take you to a place that maybe doesn't look like in the natural, that it's even where you're supposed to be. But if we are obedient and willing, he'll have you right where you need to be for that time. Amen? And we see in verses 6, that he stayed in the land. It says, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and he stayed there. And then we see in verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. I don't know if you've ever planted anything before, but generally the very first year that you plant something, it's not 100-fold harvest. You might get a little bush with a little bit of fruit or vegetables on it, but like the next year or the year after that, it's like it grows and the bush gets bigger and stronger, and that's when you get the bountiful. But he sowed in a land where he stayed, he was obedient and willing, and he reaped 100-fold. When we're willing and obedient, we can reap blessings that don't even line up with the natural realm. We can reap blessings if we're obedient and willing and stay right where God. Now, sometimes you might be saying, well, what does that have to do with us nowadays? Maybe there's a job and you don't really like it, and the Lord says, I want you to stay. But Lord, this is Gerar. I don't want to stay in Gerar. I want to go where I planned. And the Lord says, no, stay. And then all of a sudden you reap a harvest that you hadn't anticipated. Or maybe you're at a job and the Lord says, no, I want you to go over here. But Lord, it's so good right here. No, but I want you to go over here. If we're obedient and willing, he knows things we don't even know. And he will go before us and he'll provide for us in ways we couldn't imagine. So there are blessings. When you are obedient and willing, there are blessings that come in this overflow life. Now, he was overflowing that year with blessings in his harvest. And then we see, I love this. So at the very end of verse 12, it says, the Lord blessed him. And then 13, it says, the man began to prosper. Hallelujah. How many people want to prosper, right? And then he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I love that. Prosperous wasn't enough for the Lord. He wanted him to become very prosperous. Now, we know we are blessed to be a what?
Blessing.
Blessing. And I've been praying and praying for us to reach the point where we are able to support our missionaries fully. And this morning, I said I was praying in the Spirit, and I was just walking through my kitchen getting ready today, and I was just praying about our finances, and the Lord's been really challenging me with this overflow thing. What would you do with $10,000? What would you do with $20,000? What would you do with more? And I'm starting to think, what would I do with $10,000? What would I do with $20,000? Because he's trying to change our thinking from being the ones in need to the ones who are blessing. Amen? And I was standing by my refrigerator, and it was one of those clear as day, I could see it fully, and the Lord said, I want you to believe that you will pay for one of your missionaries, the whole thing, you. I said, yes, Lord, let it be me, amen? Because that's where God is taking us in this overflow. It's not just so that we can be blessed, which is awesome, right? But he's trying to stretch our thinking, because what was the original plan? All nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed. And right now, the church is not blessing the nations. Let's just be honest, okay? That's where we're going to. So whatever it is, the Lord is stretching your thinking today. You may be prosperous, but he wants you to be very prosperous. That's another part of the blessing. So we see that he began to be very prosperous. In fact, his possessions, as you read on, became so much so that the Philistines he was living around began to envy him. And they sent him away. They said, you're becoming too great. You need to leave. Amen? I'm looking for the time that the city comes to us and says, you know what, you guys have become too great. You need to move to a different city, right? Because you're just overwhelming. Hallelujah, right? Or maybe we stay and we provide so much finances, they don't tell us to stay, right? And then we see that in verse 22, they are moved on and they couldn't find a well. They kept digging a well and there'd be a quarrel over it. Digging a well and there'll be a quarrel. Have you ever felt like that in your life? That everywhere you're turning, that it looks like something good's gonna happen and then something bad happens. And then something good looks like it's gonna happen and then something bad happens. That's because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But when you are obedient and willing, guess what? The Lord will bring you to a place called Rehoboth. And that's a place that's called spacious room. They found a place. The Lord provided a well for them. The Lord will provide for your need. That's part of the blessing of living in the overflow. He cares about you. He cares about the things that make matter to you. And then we see in verse 24, when you're obedient and willing and you're following the Lord. Now, all this is because he didn't go to Egypt. He stayed where the Lord told him to stay. And even though he moved, he just moved like a little bit further out from Gerar to the valley of Gerar. So he didn't go far. So he's still listening to the Lord and he's still obedient. And it says, the Lord met with him. Woo-hoo! I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that's obedient and willing because I want the Lord to be meeting with me on a regular basis. Do you see all these blessings that are happening to him because he's obedient and willing? So often we look at tithes and offerings and we just see the financial part. But that's not the only thing, okay? He blesses us. We've gone before over Malachi 3, how he rebukes the devourer on your behalf. He protects what's yours, amen? Things aren't going to come against your finances, yes, but there's a bigger picture here. You stay healthy so you have no health bills. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Your kids, they're blessed in school. There's no issues at school. Maybe they're blessed in their jobs. Your grandkids are blessed. It's an overflow that keeps going because you chose to be obedient and willing. And I love this last one. The Lord meets with him. And then the last one in verse 31, it says that they had peace with the Philistines. The Lord will even give you peace with your enemies. How awesome is that? So we live a blessed life. We're prosperous, very prosperous. He provides for our needs. He makes even our enemies at peace with us. There is an overflow of his presence in our lives. This is exciting stuff. When you're living in the overflow, it's just, it overflows from you even to the people around you. When you're living in the overflow, because it's like the cup, you're full. It's not like you have to take something out of you to put it into somebody else. Oh, no, 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 no. It's just flooding over. They just kind of come up underneath it. And they get filled, right? That's living in the overflow. And that's where we want to be in this church. Overflowing. But especially in our finances. I believe we all need to be stopping and asking ourselves, what would I do with $10,000? What would I do with $20,000? Because I've learned, if you don't have a plan, shoop, it's gone. It's gone. But if you have a plan of what to do with it, then you'll already know what to do. So when it comes in your hands, you'll go, yep, 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 yep. Okay, Lord, I'm ready for the next one. Because he's looking to see, are you going to be a faithful steward of what he's given you? Amen? And if we're tithers and we're givers, we're already showing our faithfulness. Amen? And so now we want to be faithful with the overflow. Yes. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this series, The Overflow, following the Lord, obedient and willing. Father, I just pray for every household that's represented here today. I pray for the overflow to enter into their lives, Father, that like never before, finances are going to begin pouring into their hands. And Father, you're going to give them dreams and visions of what to do with it, Father. We have 5 missionaries that we support, Lord. So I thank you that there are at least 5 households that are represented here that are going to have enough overflow that we are going to be able to pay for all 5 of these missionaries to be self-sustained for every year. I thank you for that, Father. That is not beyond you. Nothing is impossible with God. And Father, I say, yes, I will stand in the gap. I will be a vessel that you can flow through in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to do with our finances. Help us not to just, oh, well. No, no, help us to be focused and strategic, Father, because you have a plan for what you want to do in our lives to the people around us, Father, that we're impacting. And I just thank you in these last days, Father, that you are rising up churches all over the world that will be blessed to be a blessing, that will take their rightful place in their communities, in their cities, and in their states, Father, that we're going to see a shift in Jesus' name, that we're going to be the ones that will be able to provide for needs when they arise, that the world isn't going to have to try to figure it out. They're going to go where they were supposed to go at the beginning, to the church. And I thank you, Father, that we'll be the first ones, Father. If you need a place to start, Redeemed Church will be a place to start. We thank you, Father. Bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the givers, Father. I pray for an anointing upon their lives. And we just praise you, Lord, for all the things you're doing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the honor of being here today. Thank you for the honor of being able to sow into your work around the world and right here, God. And we praise you for it all, Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we can dismiss the children this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for that awesome message and the worship time, guys, and hallelujah. And thank you all for your just being here and being in a spirit of expectancy. You know, I can't shake the image of a locker room out of my mind right now. You know, it's like in the NFL or the NBA, when a coach gets fired, they'll say, well, he lost the locker room. And in the locker room, that's where you get inspiration or discouragement, right? Among team members and among each other, the coach, whatever. Well, Jesus is the coach. He's got a game plan, and we win. Yeah. So the locker room, you come, and man, you see these guys, and they're in there, and they are getting worked up to a frenzy. I mean, they're fired up. Go, go, go. Here's what we're doing, a pep talk, and then they get out the door and do it. and they're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, amen, the stadium, right? Or if they're on the road, there's thousands of people against them. Like the Oregon Ducks last week, where they faced Ohio State, and there were 100,000 fans in red wanting them to go down. And it seems like that in the world, where there are demonic forces and people in places of leadership and Hollywood and sports figures saying, you are all crazy. But somebody say, remember what we talked about in the locker room. Right? Keep your ears on. Stay focused. Don't look up in the stands at all those angry faces. Remember, there's a cloud of heavenly witnesses. Yeah. And we have each other. And God's family is a great big global family. There are millions and millions and millions of people around the world just like you, your brothers and sisters. And we're all doing this together. Amen? So somebody stay with it. Amen. Stay with the game plan. Remember your assignment. Hallelujah. And just get out there and do it. Amen? Well, praise God. Well, we're continuing this series. The Lord began to stir this in me about July earlier this year. And, you know, I felt three things the Lord wanted us to focus on in 2021. The mercy of God, which we spent weeks on at the beginning of the year. Fighting the fight of faith, which we spent a lot of weeks on in the spring and into the summer. And then the glory of God. Somebody say the glory of God, right? And it's the Word of God is the glory of God, amen? But we're going to come into some messages on that coming soon, right? And but right in the middle of the year, about late July, I felt the Lord say, I want you to get back into healing for a season, right? To ministering healing and preaching healing. And we had done this in 2019. We spent if you remember, many of you who were here, we spent the first Sunday of every month from about April on in 2019 having a healing service. And the entire year of 2020, we had nobody in the congregation get the COVID virus, right? I mean, the whole year. So hallelujah, right? That's victory. But just like in a sports event, the opposition can make adjustments too. And the devil came up with a variant, right? And many people have struggled and been healed of the COVID variant, right? But regardless of what he comes up with, whatever the devil comes up with, the plan for you and me is healing and health, right? And to preach it, to believe it, to claim it for ourselves. Amen. And God is the God of health and healing and wholeness, right? We can't ever start questioning God about these things. Amen. And so I felt stirred in July to get back to this. And we have like this week and next week, so we're really close to finishing what God has called us to do. But there, in your notes there, we have some confessions for divine living and divine health. And this is from KennethCopelandMinistries.org. But this I want to start with one that we used on September 5th because it so applies to today. It just rings in my ears about how much this particular confession applies to today for God's people. So I want you to say this after me. Say, I have supernatural knowledge about how to take care of my body. I am led by the Spirit of God about how to approach my whole life health. Now here's the nitty gritty right here. I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body, but seek the Lord in making decisions. Somebody say amen. Now that is such a timely word for where we're at. Amen. And so I'm just going to keep saying it. Right? Somebody say, seek the Lord. Do what he says. Don't listen to the rhetoric, the narrative of the world, and just do whatever they say to do. Right? The same voice that said, abandon Afghanistan. The same voice that said, obey the rainbow. are saying, this is what you need to do to take care of COVID. I question it, right? I don't believe it. I don't believe them, right? Now, yeah, there's a virus, absolutely. But we have a greater one. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And we're not responding to the world's voice in fear or in intimidation. Amen? Just like we wouldn't do in any of these other areas, we refuse to bow the knee to everything they say about everything you should do. How dare you question us? Amen. Well, no, I just have a higher authority that I answer to. Amen? Praise the Lord. But as we get going, I've been showing a video every week, and I want to show you a video from A.A. Allen this morning. Just a 3-minute clip. But the purpose of these things is really to remind us that God still does this stuff, and that we are a place that is open to Him to do it. Kind of like when a receiver gets open in the end zone and they wave, I'm open! Well, there's a lot of church that says, no! Not here! That's controversial! I'm doing this. Hey! We're open, right? So in order for the angels that are watching, the demons that might be in earshot, I want to play this video. Right? So take a look at this.
You know, there's a lot of churches, so-called today, that's trying to have revival without having it the Bible way. The reason we believe in this kind of music is because it works. And it's God's will in the church today. There are some kinds of music that absolutely will not drive out evil spirits, that will not even make the devil mad. But to quote some scripture to back this up, in 1 Samuel, from the 16th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from a man named Saul. The anointing of God came upon a prophet, and he said to Saul, seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit is upon thee, that he shall play with his hands, and thou shalt be made well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well. Something else happened? What's happened? Is this the girl that was blind? What happened?
Oh, God, give me my sight back.
God, give me your sight back.
Yes, he did.
Oh, how long have you been blind?
Oh, I've had 4 operations on my eyes.
Uh-huh.
But it's been coming gradually.
Yes, she's had 4 operations on her eyes. And how many years you've been blind?
It's been about a year.
About a year. And suddenly your sight returns?
Yes.
And God heals it?
Yes.
Go on down there and shout. Raise your hands and shout, everybody. Praise the Lord. This woman's been totally blind. She's had 4 operations on her eyes that didn't work. And suddenly, during this music, both of her eyes are open and she is totally healed by God's power. My God, stand to your feet, friends. Raise your hands and let's shout. Let's praise the Lord.
Let's praise the Lord.
Oh, yes. You see what I mean? When the power of God is present, when the power of God is present and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, my God, we don't even have to lay hands on the sick. We don't even have to pray. Because this kind of music, which I call miracle music, will drive the spirits of infirmity out of you. This girl's blindness was caused by an infirm spirit. What drove it out? The same kind of music here tonight that drove the demon spirit out of Saul in 1 Samuel 17.
Praise God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Wow, there is no time and space in the spirit, right? To God, that was like, 5 seconds ago, probably that happened, right? So, somebody say, he still does it.
He still does it.
Can we bump the lights back up for me, guys? Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just praise God for his ability to do this, right? Just lift your hands and thank him. Lord, we just thank you for touching that young lady that day, opening her eyes. He's the God that opens blinded eyes, unstops deaf ears, heals viruses and cancers and diseases. And man, he's just so marvelous. Thank you, Lord, for your ability and your willingness to heal in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And a greater miracle is that he would keep us well, right? That we wouldn't need any miracles, right? That we lay hands on the sick and they recover, right? But we do have earthly bodies in a planet that is full of disease and viruses and these kind of things. And so when we feel symptoms come against us, what ought be our response? We ought not say, oh, looks like I'm getting what it fill in the blank, right? No, we stand against him and we rebuke him in the name of Jesus, right? So this is what we're talking about in the locker room today. Amen. God's ability to heal, his willingness to heal, right? His plan to heal. And that we don't allow the devil to come stepping on our life. We're not his doormat. Amen. But our confession for living in divine health today is from Philippians 2:9. And again, these are from kcm.org. But I want to look at a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 is the first one. Praise the Lord. And it says this: therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, right? And given him the name which is above every other name. Praise the Lord. Somebody just say Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the name above every other name. Somebody say, use it. Use the name of Jesus. We were watching this. We like the old Andy Griffith shows the other day. And Andy he'd had enough. He was going on vacation. He's stressed out with all the terrible problems in Mayberry. And he left Barney Fife in charge with his assistant deputy Gomer. So Gomer is there, you know, Gomer Pyle. He was in Andy Griffith for a long time too, and he's the mechanic, and the elevator doesn't quite go to the top floor, right? And so Gomer is there presenting himself to be deputized. And Andy was not full, the sheriff was not full of confidence in this. And he's like, Gomer, something's missing on your uniform. Well, golly, what is it? Shazam, right? And Barney's all, oh, we got this. You go ahead and go on vacation. We got it. Well, Gomer forgot his badge. And Barney's like, Gomer, you need to put your badge on. Well, church, I'm here to tell you, Jesus' name is the badge you wear. When sickness comes knocking, when the enemy comes to try to take over your house, when he's trying to do crazy stuff in your city or your town, your nation, we use the name that is above every name. We need to be people that are trained and equipped in using the name. Yesterday, my father-in-law, Larry, went with me and the boys to Cabela's, the hunting store over in Tualatin, and the Boot Barn right there, right? Luke got himself a belt buckle. Yoo! But we were talking about what do they call it when you get a conceal license and you can carry a gun? I've never done that before because personally I think I would be more like a Barney Fife because I wasn't trained around that. I'd be the guy to pull it out and shoot the ground by my foot. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'll get some training maybe, but it's like... But my father-in-law was talking to me, and he's like, yeah. He's like, when you carry, he said, the law is you can't show it, but you're ready. And he said, in your mind, you've already crossed the bridge of the question of, if I have to use this, I'm going to use it. And he said, the gun is loaded and on safety, and it's in your pocket. And just the thought of that to me is like, I'm not going to walk around town with a loaded gun. To me, that would be over my head. Another thing is, I tend to be a little more emotional than my father-in-law. So somebody cuts me off on the freeway or something, or, you know, some weird guy, I'll just get the dashboard and sit on the console. That's not what you do. You don't want that type of guy carrying a loaded gun, right? But not Larry. He knows how to use it. Every time we've ever gone camping together, he's had one with him, and I never knew until yesterday, right? So the name of Jesus, this is the cool thing about it, though. We don't have to conceal it, right? But we need to know how to use it and when to use it. Now, there is some wisdom there, right? Back when I was a CNA and working in geriatrics, I was in this kind of mental ward as a CNA, and there was this woman, she was always just ornery, and she'd always be listening to Christian radio, sitting by her bed, but cussing, and so finally one day, I thought, I'm going to use the name on this woman. So I walked by, oh, you bleepity bleep bleep bleep. I'm like, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I said it. Well, she looks at me and she goes, I rebuke you too in the name of Jesus. What had I done? Misused the name, right? The name didn't work on Sister Gertrude, right? She used it on me and I left. I left the room, so I guess it worked from her standpoint. You know what I'm saying, right? So we need to know when, be proficient as to how and when to use it. Otherwise, if you use it and it doesn't seem to work, it might be because you didn't use it right. Amen? Larry was telling me, my father-in-law, he said, now, here's when you use it. He said, guy comes up to you to hurt you. He's within an arm's length of you. You step back, fire a shot into the ground, and say, stop. Guy doesn't stop. You use it. That way you never make a mistake. Guy is too close to you, in your space, in your bubble, right? So we got to know, church, when is the devil getting in my bubble? What is under my authority? What is not under my authority? Amen. We've prayed for numerous people that were about to pass away, and they did pass away. Does that mean I didn't have authority over the cancer or the disease? Or maybe I just didn't have authority over Joe. I told you the story of my cousin last week. I'm doing his memorial service this next Saturday. Cancer, passed away. We went and prayed together. We're standing around his bed, and I'm reading Psalm 91 over him, which he wanted. And we got to the part about the angels of God, and all of a sudden I was just overwhelmed with this sense of the angels of God are in this room. And he was in his living room in a bed, and I saw in my spirit a door appear in the corner above his television. And I knew he's about to walk through the door. Right? And at that moment, the prayer changed. Because the Lord showed me, Steve, you don't have authority over Les. Les wants to come home. You're not holding him here. And guess what? You're all coming home at some point. And man, at that point, we talked down to the cancer. We told the cancer where it belonged. And we reminded cancer that it has no authority in this room under the blood of Jesus. But yet I knew Les was about to leave. And within 24 hours, he did. And I told him, I said, Les, I see a door. Just so you know, if you see the door, I'm seeing a door right now. And I know there's angels in this room. And we began to talk and talk about heaven and fellowship with one another. My uncle was there and Les's brother. And we all prayed a prayer of commitment ourselves that we would all be together in heaven someday. Right? Now, if I'd have got all pastory, well, no, Les, you're not going to die in the name of Jesus. I've just misused the name. And it's going to come back looking like I failed. or that the name didn't work. Well, no, actually, Les wanted to go on home to be with Jesus. Amen? So, now, if a disease comes knocking on your door, like last night, I've been working out too hard lately, and my knees were bothering me. Well, last night, I said, Shelly, can you just agree with me over? I want healing of this. I don't want this. It's got no place in my body, right? And she prayed for me, and now I feel great. Hallelujah, right? So you pray the prayer of faith. You invoke the name of Jesus. You rebuke those symptoms. You take authority over them. But somebody say, use the name. Use the name of Jesus. Man, we need to be claiming Jesus' name over our nation. One particular portion of the Bible that's jumped out at me in the past couple days is the children of Israel coming in to possess the land, right? And God told them, you're going to have to drive some people out. And the Lord told me, you're going to have to believe me to help you drive some people out of my land, of your land. And that gave me faith on how to pray. Right? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over our nation and we bind that Antichrist spirit off of our nation. And God, we ask you to drive the people out in the name of Jesus that will not change, that are lying and corrupt and perverse and all this crazy stuff. And we claim this nation back for God wholeheartedly. In Jesus, that's to me, I feel a good peaceful feeling about praying that, because the Holy Ghost showed me the scripture. Hallelujah, right? Somebody say, use the name.
Use the name.
Now, you don't have authority over that grandchild that's going astray, over their body, but you do have authority over the demon spirit that is controlling them. Amen. So you don't spend your time preaching until you're blue in the face to little Susie or whatever, right? You take authority over the spirit that's controlling them.
Yeah.
Right? In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you off of Susie's life. Turn her loose now. Yeah. And Holy Ghost, sends somebody her way that she can receive from. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And you expect. Guess what? There's more with us than against us. I remember Pastor Scott telling me once. He's like, Steve, I just can't, my mentor, Pastor Scott from New Beginnings, Texas. He said, Steve, I just can't see God losing the numbers game. How many angels fell with Lucifer? 1/3. How many does that leave?
2/3.
2/3, right?
Woo!
Amen. Hallelujah. And like, you know, if you like basketball, you could have a great team, but if you just have LeBron on the team, right? We got some great players, but we also got this guy named LeBron. Oh, man, you just check the finals box right there. We're going to the championship. Well, so we got 2/3 of the angels. Oh, and by the way, God.
Yeah.
we're on his team, right? And the church. So what does that do? That encourages me to keep expecting, to stay stirred up, to stay on God's track, amen, and just keep at it, no matter how things look or how they feel. Hallelujah, right? Galatians 3:13, we gotta move here, is the other verse for this statement of faith. I have that one labeled, unless Shelley moved it. No, she didn't. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Amen. So then, as the body of Christ, we have got to be proficient at being able to distinguish between the curse and the blessing. Well, maybe that curse is just a blessing in disguise. Somebody say, no.
No.
No. It's either a curse or a blessing. In pest control, I have to know the difference, for example, between honeybee and yellow jacket. Honeybee Randy probably knows this too. I know you do. You know more than I do. You're way better at pest control than me. Maybe because you've been more of a pest. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. That's right. But honeybee generally is going to leave me alone, for one thing. Yellow jacket will tear you up, will come at you aggressively. Honeybee, little fuzzy pollinators going around to plants. Yellow jacket, streamlined, angry looking. And if you come across a yellow jacket nest, if you come across a honeybee area where there's just a box, just, you know, be careful, but they'll leave you alone. But if you step across a yellow jacket nest in the ground, where there is a bee line going up and down, and it's 1 a.m, all of a sudden you will feel pain. Right? The curse brings pain. Amen? The blessing of God brings the joy, brings the peace. And you can see in, I think, Deuteronomy 28 and other places where God clearly defines honeybee, yellow jacket. Blessing, curse. And it says right here in Galatians that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. Amen? So what's that leave then? Somebody say, the blessing. The blessing. So as Christians, we know we should use the name against anything that resembles the curse coming into our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's make this statement of faith together. It's there in your notes if you got it. If not, just say this after me. Jesus is the name above all names. His name is above every sickness and disease. And every sickness and disease must bow to his name. So I speak the name of Jesus over every part of my body today. I declare that his name is driving out anything that is under the curse, because he has redeemed me from the curse. Hallelujah, right? Welcome to Redeemed Church. Glory to God, right? Amen. Well, this next portion here is from God's Will to Heal, 101 Things God Said, from Pastor Keith Moore, morelife.org. You can download the whole list there. But we've been taking chunks of it every week and having a healing in service, right? So we're going to say, can you toss me up? Thank you, Lacey. Woo! Thank you. We're going to say these verses out loud together. On the list of 101, this is like 81 through 91, all right? So we're getting close. Hallelujah. But here's what Pastor Keith says. He says, God said so. How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? How many know Christians need to get past that? That's like Larry was talking to me. How do I know to use the gun or not? How do I know if it's God's will for me to be healed or not? Well, it makes little or no difference what others say about it. What did he say about it, right? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. He never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he's saying to you today. God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe and obey, etc. So what did God say? I want you to say these with me out loud. Okay, God said, here we go. The law of the Spirit of life in me has made you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The same Spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you, and that Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8:11. And that, I put a couple notes there on that word quicken, means to make alive, to give life. Amen? That's what I want. Right? Amen. Glory to God. Here we go. Ready, go. Your body is a member of me. 1 Corinthians 6:15. And that reminds me, one of the main points on this confession from September 5th, This came up last week, but just reading that brought it to my attention. That confession where we just said, I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body. Hear Jesus saying that. Hear Jesus saying that. I, Jesus, do not let the world dictate to me how I take care of my body. Who are we? Somebody say, the body. Amen. Boy, I found great joy in that statement. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to listen to, you know, voices out there that are lying to people. And just act like it's true. No. I was talking to a guy the other day about some things that the government is presenting as just fact. And he's like, well, why haven't you just accepted it? And I said, well, sir, I'm not alone, first of all. There's millions of people that have issues with our leadership. And there's just kind of this gut feeling that something ain't right. Just sort of a gut feeling that millions! Oh, and he said something about, oh, conspiracy theory. Well, there ain't no conspiracy theory. It's right out in the open, church, right? No shame. It's like my dog. He just turned 11. Old dog years, right? Well, he's never done this before, but he just a few months ago found a package of wrapped sweet rolls in the garage. His gate wasn't shut, but normally he's fine. That ain't mine. Now this time, he went in there and ripped into those things and devoured most of it. Wrappers and all. We came into, oh, Sam, no. Sam had no shame, man. He went out and rolled around in the grass like, freedom. Well, we have leaders right now in this nation that have no shame about the craziness, the common sense, the lack of common sense, right? Oh, shame on you. If you think we left people behind in Afghanistan, shame on you. You hear that common theme, shame. Somebody say, no. Jesus reminds us he knows how to take care of his body. So what does the church need to be real good at doing? Listening to him. Listening to him. Glory to God, right? Okay, here we go. Your body is the temple of my spirit, and you're to glorify me in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Sickness in my body doesn't give glory to God. If that were the case, everyone in heaven would be sick. Right? What are we doing? We're converting our soul to the idea that God's will is for me to be well. Amen? If you'll rightly discern my body, which was broken for you, and judge yourself, you'll not be judged, and you'll not be weak, sickly, or die prematurely. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 31. I'll tell you what, the Lord has really checked me on this type of thing in terms of, Steve, all the stuff that's going on in the world, watch your attitude about it. Because if you get it, I honestly have a yearning prayer desire for these leaders. For President Biden, for Kamala Harris, for Nancy Pelosi, for the justices that are whacked out in the natural. Pray for them. Hell, for the Taliban, right? They're just doing what they were taught to do since they were this high. Kill people. Christians, Jews, kill them. They were taught since this. In a lot of ways, it ain't their fault. Now, they'll have the end of it. But let's pray. Somebody say, pray for them. Yes. Pray for them. I've heard stories of supernatural visitations where Jesus or an angel of God will appear to a Muslim extremist and say, yo, wait, no. Oh, man, that's a wake-up call, right? Hallelujah. Here we go. I have set gifts of healing in my body, 1 Corinthians 12:9. That's why we've been playing these video clips every week. Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, Gloria Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, who else? Billy Burke, A.A. Allen. if that bothers me, oh, that's just fake. Yikes. No, this is Bible. This is real. These are gifts to the body of Christ. Ministries of healing. Ministers of the gospel. Right? So we can't get into criticizing and rejecting gifts God has sent to this world. Amen? No, we embrace them and celebrate it. Hallelujah. My life may be made manifest in your mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11. That's a good question to ask myself. Is Jesus sick right now? Does he even have a runny nose or a stomach ache? Of course, he probably didn't eat 42 donuts. What's that?
Or sore knee.
Right, or sore knee. Yes, exactly. No, he does not, and neither do I right now. Hallelujah. So his life may be manifest in me. Glory to God forevermore. So what do we do about that? We just say, thank you. Thank you. I receive it, Lord. And then the Holy Spirit comes to help guide us, you know, in terms of wisdom of things maybe I need to do to get on board. Right? Steve, put the Doritos away. what's the Tim Hawkins? He's a Christian comedian, and he has this funny little skit or thing he does about, Lord, bless these Cheetos and this Dr. Pepper that I'm about to partake of, surround my pancreas with a hedge of protection. Change the molecular structure, Lord. Change it to a carrot. So the Lord helps me to be practical and getting on board. This morning, I was reading in my daily Bible reading, and there's a scripture in Proverbs that has the term deceptive foods. I repent, Lord. Deceptive foods, right? More good stuff. Hallelujah. Somebody say, more good stuff.
More good stuff.
A donut, not a dozen donuts. All right, move on, Pastor Steve. I have delivered you from death. I do deliver you, and if you trust me, I will yet deliver you. 2 Corinthians 1:10. The word deliver means words like, and we're talking about being God's healing flow here, right? It means words like a current, to rush. Oh, I can't read my last word there. Or draw. So it reminds me of you've ever stand in the ocean and you feel it pulling you out, right? Well, if we get in God's healing flow, it's going to pull us out farther into God, right? Farther into his healing presence. Somebody to say, stay in the flow.
Stay
in the flow, because he is my deliverer. In other words, he's not bringing me closer to the curse. He's bringing me out of the curse. And guess what? If he's bringing you out, he'll bring other people out with you. That's the glorious thing about all this, right? I think we got one or two more. I have given you my name. What's that name again? Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. And have put all things under your feet. Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. Somebody say, use the name. Use the name. Here we go. Ready, go. I want it to be well with you, and I want you to live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 3. So many Christians have this image of God like the Wicked Witch of the West. Have you ever seen Wizard of Oz? And she has the sand timer. And she turns it. And all you have, it's totally up to God. Might be your 14, might be your 42. It's in the sand timer. Somebody say no. No, I have the promise of long life on the earth. I'm not going till I'm good and ready. And praise God, there's a rapture coming. There's going to be a whole generation of Christians that just go whoosh, up in the rapture. Amen? Praise God. But if he does delay his coming by 5 seconds, God time, then we're going by the grave, which is totally natural. All that means is I go to sleep one night in my bed and wake up in heaven. Not because there's some crazy sickness or accident or, you know what I'm saying? Somebody say, live long on the earth. I have delivered you from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1:13. Glory to God. Amen. So, but see, if Christians are still confused about what darkness is and what light is, about what good is and what evil is, that's what the devil's been doing to people. Oh, no, 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 that isn't, that's evil, really. This is good. Somebody say, know what the word says. Amen. Jesus didn't come to embrace the darkness. Just love, this lady the other day at the school had this rainbow shirt, the word love. I was like, that ain't love, man. Or it's loving the wrong thing. Love is loving God first. Loving God first and His Word, then I can love you more effectively, right? Love is not lying to you. Oh, that's okay. We just love you. So churches with, you know, rainbows in the parking lot. No. We do not embrace the doctrines of the world because this is what is killing people. Jesus delivers people from the darkness, not to the darkness. Amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, why don't we all stand up on our feet, and we're gonna make this final confession this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody say this with me. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord over me. Spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe, I receive my healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. And I forgive and receive my forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Just thank the Lord for that today. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your glorious power and for your glorious plan for us to walk in divine health in every area of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord.